Now, if I mention another name, you'll get it. If I say Caleb, yeah? You got that name? And Joshua? Yeah? You see, the reason you didn't get the other three is because they faded into history. They were just three of 10 spies who put fear into the hearts of Israel. You were thinking that, weren't you, Pauline? Yeah, I could tell that. And I want to speak this morning on a slightly different angle of Caleb, because I see very much that Caleb was a man of faith because his heart was aligned with God the Father's heart. And that's how faith grows. When you align yourself and your heart with God, it causes faith that's in you to grow and to develop. And he develops a confidence in God because of all what he's seen God do. That's why it's great when you go to conferences and you see stuff happening, because you think, I want to have a bash with that. In fact, one of the things we're toying with at the moment is really pushing the boat out every Sunday evening in November and just doing a healing meeting for 45 minutes. Because it's not us that heals, it's God. But we just feel we've got to do something, not for the church, but to advertise it to the locals. Because we've seen that they will come. A couple of weeks ago, we put on a fun day in faith, and we bought 150 burgers, 100 sausages, 50 odd hot dogs, and we've got a bouncy castle and a big slide, because we thought we need to let the locality know that there's something going on. And it was a little bit case of Field of Dreams, you know, if you build it, they will come. So we had a very short meeting, everything was going, the barbecues were lit, and I'm sort of 5 to 12, I'm stood there, Lord, saying, there's nobody about yet, God. 12 o'clock, it started. The wonder of Facebook advertising. And we ended up with over 350 people coming and staying. And we served over 480 pieces of food. In fact, we ran out of burgers and that. We had to shoot off to Aldi and get some. But it showed us that we can reach the community. If we do things in faith with a heart that's aligned with God. And Caleb had a confidence because of what he'd seen God do. You see, he'd seen the miracles of Egypt. He'd seen it all happen. He'd seen how God, Moses, had brought a revival of confidence in God through the plagues. And every plague wasn't just a random happening. It was a demolition of the gods of Egypt. And God was showing, I'm the supreme one here. He'd seen the sea part. He'd seen the manna and the quail and the water from rocks in the world. You know, and as I've been rereading that, you know, we suddenly think of, oh, well, they got water from a rock in the wilderness. You know, you've got a few million people. It's not like a little hose pipe that's coming out. It strikes a rock. It's got to be like a river flowing through the wilderness to feed all the men and women and the kids and the donkeys and the goats and the sheep and all the other animals. He's seen it all, what God can do. And he'd seen the glory of God come down as Moses met with him. He was part of it. He'd got a confidence in his heart because he'd heard what God had said to him as an individual. And he knew that God was able to do anything and that he was greater than anything that Caleb could face. His heart, mind and soul was ruled by his spirit, not the other way around. It was ruled by his spirit that was alive to the things of God. It wasn't controlled by his feelings or his thoughts, but his spirit overruled his feelings and his thoughts because his confidence was in God and what God was saying to him. And he speaks it out. It's part of his fabric. See, I've got this little theory that whenever there was a skirmish and Moses asked for volunteers, I need half a dozen good men to face this battle, he'll be putting his hand up, I'll go. Because he knew, you know, there was nothing going to touch him. It was going to be a case of little arrows in my clothing, little arrows in my hair. You know, they weren't going to touch him at all. That's for the over 40s, that one, you know. And he knew that no matter how many arrows were coming over, there was nothing going to penetrate him. Because he'd got a promise from God that the only one of this generation that's going to inherit that land is Joshua and my servant Caleb. So he knew, I'm going to get what God has promised. I want to ask you this morning, have you got that confidence of the things that God has said? To actually believe and to align your heart with that we've got a good God. We've got a good Father who does good things for his kids. But we've got to have a confidence within our hearts that says, God, I believe you for this. I believe that you can do it. You know, he constantly says things like this. The Lord is with us. When the other spies were saying, the walls are up to the sky, there are giants there, and it's too big, he says, the Lord is with us. In other words, there's no contest. We've got the Lord with us. So let's go in. And he was proved right later when they find out what Rahab had said, when she says, we have heard of all that the Lord your God has done, and our hearts have melted with fear because of what the Lord has done. So he's got that. He knew the reality of if God is for us, who can be against us? He knew that reality. Folks, that's the reality that God wants us to rise up to. If God is for us, who can be against us? The ills of society. God is more than sufficient. His grace is more than sufficient. His power is more than sufficient. Don't let what goes on out there and in the news faze you. It's Jesus who's got the control. He is the one in whom our times are held. It's not in presidents or parliaments or nutters in the north of Korea, right? The future is in the hands of King Jesus. And that's where our confidence has to be. We've got to line up with it. The truth is, the reality is, God is for you. And God wants to take us beyond where we are now because he's got an inheritance. That's what Caleb lived for. I've got an inheritance that I'm going to enjoy because God has promised it to me. You see, many people spend time hoping God will answer their prayer. But God wants to respond to your faith. Sometimes we're crying out all the time, but we don't have faith to believe that God will do what we've asked. And God wants to respond to faith. That's what Caleb had. He'd got faith in his God that God was going to do it. And that's the area that sometimes we've got to keep bringing back to God and be honest, like the man with the demon-possessed boy. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Because we all have those little areas that get chipped away at where we've got to say, God, I've got this little bit of disbelief. I'm not sure. I'm struggling with this area. I struggled with healing for quite a while because I'd seen people die that we prayed for. But you've got to get past that and look to God and see it rekindled. So Caleb's faith has been in action for 40 odd years now, and it's still growing because he talks the truth. You know, sometimes you've got to give yourself a good talking to, don't you? You ever do that? You know, come on, Paul, snap out of it now, right? Get a grip, lad. Focus afresh. And he does. In chapter 14 of Joshua, he says this from verse 6. He says, now the men of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Junipher, the Kenizzite. See, I looked that up, and some people actually think he was actually adopted into Israel because of his tribal background. But he holds on to the promise of God. And he says, you know what the Lord said to the man of God, to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea, about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my brothers who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt with fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day, Moses swore to me, the land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses while Israel was moving about in the desert. So here I am today, 85 years old. I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard that the Anakites were there
Their cities are large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he has said. Then Joshua blessed Caleb. See, he taught the truth. The Lord has said. The Lord has said. He constantly says it. Right? It's part of his fibre. What the Lord has said. Look what the Lord has done. The Lord has kept me these 45 years. It wasn't that I was good at dodging arrows and javelins. But the Lord has kept me. He's putting it all back to God. The God who's promised will do it. The God who says it will fulfill it. He's kept me alive for 45 years. I've been through many dangers, toils and snares, but I'm still standing here. I'm 85 and I'm still ready for a fight. Now, that's not the talk of an old man who's saying, I could still give you a good hiding, lad. You know, he's not like that. He's saying, I'm still as vigorous. And I reckon that they're all looking saying, you're right there, I won't take him on. Because he's carrying something of God. He trusted the truth of God's word. You see, when you read the word of God, ask God to explode it in your face. I love it when I read the word and I'm just reading it to feed myself, not reading it to get a sermon from it, but a reading it to feed me and to hear what God's saying. And I love it when you get those moments where God goes dunk and you think, well, I've never seen that before. You have those moments. I've not seen that before. And I'm thinking, I've read through this I don't know how many times. And then God just illuminates something. And it catches you. And it holds you. I did a little experiment some time ago. And I thought, you know what, God? Based on this, I wrote out my top 10 favourite verses. Going back from when, just after I'd become a Christian. And got saved in a Pentecostal church. But we used to go to this Brethren church in Yeovil because they taught us the word. Not saying the Pentecostals didn't, but it was real nutty stuff that taught us the Lordship of Jesus. And one of the first verses, they encouraged us to memorise the word of God. And they would give us a memory verse. And the first memory verse I ever had was from Philippians 4 verses 6 to 8. Have no anxiety about anything. Right? That's the promise of God. But in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that transcends all understanding will keep your heart and mind safe in Christ Jesus. I tell you, that verse alone has kept me alive. Through lots of problems, because have no anxiety, God, this is a big problem. It's to you. I need your peace in this. And I can actually say that I don't worry. Right? There are moments when you can get shaken, not stirred. You know what I mean. But I don't worry. Because I've developed a confidence that I know the reality of God as my Father. And it sort of lives in there. So it carries you through. And Caleb knew the same. And I would encourage you, sit down when you've got a quiet time and write down the verses that God has amplified to you. And then carry it around, and every now and then I just pull it out of my Bible folder and I read through them. Just to remind myself, you know, one of my other favourite ones is Colossians 1, chapter verse 13, where it says, for he has transferred you from the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of the Son. He loved. I think, wow, that's it. And then Ephesians says, once you were in darkness, which was my baptismal verse that was given in that Brethren church. Once you were darkness, not just in darkness, but once I was darkness. But now, I'm a child of light. Boy, you know, even singing that song this morning, I am a child of God. You know what? Nobody can take that away from me. I'm a child of God. And that's what it means about living and carrying the word. So it's in you. It grows there. He trusts the reality and the truth of God's word. Because Jesus said in his prayer, just before he goes to the cross, he says to the Father, sanctify them by your word, for your word is truth. What sets us free? For the truth will set you free. What sets you free? The word, the truth of the word, holding on to it, because it bubbles up within you. Whoa. Feel a bit of an excitement coming on me here. How does it work? I believe that with Caleb, there's a little secret there. He's got his heart and his mouth aligned in faith. So he's speaking it. He's not He's not doing stinking thinking. He's not doing the negative talking. He's speaking out what God has said. You yourself heard what the Lord said through the man of God on that day. He knows it's there. So he's aligning it. And that's why sometimes, you know, we've got the Bible in Psalms says, declaring aloud. Sometimes that's why we have to give ourselves a talking to. Remind us. I have to do that. You know, when I'm driving, I think, yeah, I'm a child of God. I've been called by God. I've got an anointing from... I remind myself of it. And anybody else who's listening, but there's usually only me in the car when I'm doing it at the time. Unless you get, when I'm wagging my finger, and I'm saying, yes, this... And you get somebody overtaking you, and they're looking, and you go, bum-dee-bum-ba-bum-ba-bum. Proverbs 14 says, a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. See, a heart at peace. Proverbs 18 said, a fool's mouth is his undoing, and his lips are a snare to his soul. You see, if you keep rubbishing yourself with your words, oh, I'm no good, I'm not this, I'm not that, it'll drag you down. But if you declare what God's word says about you, then it lifts you up. Oh, what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what I am. So you're declaring it aloud. Matthew 12, Jesus said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what are you storing up in your heart? If you're storing up EastEnders and Coronation Street, and that's your diet more than the Word of God, then the reality of those things will start to come out because you'll mimic it. If you associate with people who are always negative, you'll become negative. Birds of a feather flock together. We've got to make sure that we're growing in that area of faith. So are faith-destroying words coming out of your mouth? See, that's what Caleb heard when he says, but the brothers with us, they caused the people's hearts to melt with fear. Very interesting phrase he uses. And what did they say? But there are powerful people there. But the cities are large and the walls are to the sky. The Anakites are there. They're stronger, bigger, greater. The land devours those who walk through it. What stupid talk is that? I mean, what are they thinking? It's like a fairy story. The land's suddenly going to go, the land devours us. We can't go in there. The giants are there. And we're like grasshoppers. And everybody's going, oh, there's bogeymen there. Let's put it another way. I'm useless at doing anything in church. Others are better than me. The job of reaching this area of Salford's too big for us. There's gangs of junkies there. How on earth are we going to reach them? It's a church graveyard. No churches are growing. We're not able to make an impact. The language of the spies, not the language of faith. See, Paul didn't think that when he went into cities and he saw all the idols. And he thought, and people arrested him and said, these are the men who've turned the world upside down. Why? Because he believed the reality of the power and the presence of God going with him. For God is more than sufficient. That's why John says things like, you know, the one who is in you is greater than the one that's in the world. We, from our fun day, it wasn't an evangelistic event. It was a fun day to reach the community. But as a result of it, we had a guy who came to our Bible study last Tuesday because he wanted prayer. He'd seen it all, and he's been backslidden for about 15 years. And as he walked past, he saw all this going on, and something ached within him that said, you need to get right with God. That's what we've been praying, that a conviction would come upon people. And he comes in, and he sits down, and he tells me the mess he's been through, mainly with drugs. And we prayed with him. And he was back there on Sunday. He's probably there this morning. Right? So you just see little glimpses of a way. And God does it. Ephesians 4:29 says, don't let unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. That's negative self-talk. It's not just talking about foul language. It's talking about the negative words that you can say about yourself and about others. You see, I love it where I read ages ago, Bill Johnson said something like,
I can't allow a thought about me to enter my mind that isn't in his about me. And I think that's so real. What does Jesus say about me? He won't have a negative word said about me. And yet he knows my heart. He knows my sin. He knows my failures. He knows my weakness. But you know what? In Ephesians chapter 1 it says that he speaks blessing over us. He was blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. That word blessing that Paul uses there, it means to say good things about. Just think that. That right now, up in the throne room of heaven, the Lord Jesus is speaking good things about you. And you're saying, well, I'm rubbish. Why are you calling him a liar? Align your thinking to what he is. That's why Paul says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Because that's the area of our attack, of our weakness, and of our failure. But if we can get renewed here, then we can start to move more in faith and in victory. You see, when I agree with the negatives, I'm empowering a demonic force. That's very clearly, because that's where it comes from. Oh, you're rubbish, you. Yeah, I'm rubbish. So you're agreeing it. So what you believe, you actually empower. And it grows. That's why people go under these clouds of depression and obsessions. Because they've empowered something over them. But Joshua and Caleb were different. He trusted the word of God. 14 verse 6 again. He says, you know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, about you and me. You know it. He's lived it. He's played the tape. I'm entering the promise. I'm the only one of my generation. I've got an inheritance there. I can see it now. That little mansion on the hillside. Me rocking chair, me spear and me sword, and the grandkids practicing there. He's got it all worked out. That's his thinking. You know what the Lord says. You see, complaining doesn't get you from where you are to where you need to go. Never does. It's like worry. Worry's like trying to get from here to Manchester on a rocking horse. It'll give you something to do, but it'll take you nowhere. That's the reality of it. You see, negatives stored in you have negative results within you and put a distorted view on anything that you look at, any situation or even a person. Negatives can preoccupy your mind. They drain your strength. You know, when you're just focusing upon negative, it's like somebody puts a tap and it drains your energy out and you feel it going down. And you've got to, you know, why are you downcast, O my soul? I'm going to look again at the Lord. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. See, when you get your attention on that. So it's like Peter illustration, isn't it? When he looks at the wind and the waves, he sinks. When he's looking at Jesus, he's walking on the impossible. That's what God wants to do. You see, negatives will even dry up creativity and block your prayers. And they drag you down. We need to let God deal with those things and to refocus our spirit. And one of the saddest things in the account earlier on is that when they disbelieve, God says to Moses, these people are treating me with contempt. Very strong word he uses, because they're not believing me. And the word that he uses in the Hebrew is a person that is not worthy of respect or reverence. And it's a strong feeling. The Lord has brought us here to kill us. We're better off in Egypt. What a distorted view that was. Hang on, fellas. They threw your babies to the crocodiles. They made you work for no pay. Remember those days? Oh yeah, but we had garlic. And cucumber. Cucumber. Distorted view. But you see, Caleb, because he kept this focus upon God, on what God has said. I love the quote from Smith Wigglesworth where he says, God says it, I believe it, that settles it. And that was it. I've hid your word in my heart that I might not sin against you.
not going to treat you with contempt, Lord, but I'm going to believe that what you're doing in me is going to be more than sufficient for the task ahead. And there he is. Here I am today, 85. What I say to some of you this morning, you're never too old to be used by God. Never too old. He says, I know there are giants there. There was a giant race. He said, but the Lord helping me, I will drive them out. In fact, even his daughter caught the same thing, because she comes to him later and says, I know you give me this country, but give me springs of water. So he responds to her faith. I'll drive out the giants. The giant of fear, Paul mentioned it earlier. The giant of fear that can freeze us. How do we drive that out in our lives? Simply with the knowledge of his love. The Father loves you with the same love that he has for the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus loves you with the same love that he has for the Father. What does that do? It drives fear out of my life. Because I'm secure in the love of a Father who is besotted with me. But he knows everything about me. The fear of worry. How do we drive that out? By saying, God, fill me with your peace that transcends human understanding. You can have great peace in the midst of great difficulties. What about the giant of inadequacy? Because somebody has always rubbished you as you were growing up. You're never good enough. You'll never meet the mark. You were always the butt of somebody's joke. Or even a father's joke or a parent's joke. How do I kill that giant? I had to. By seeing the sufficiency of his grace meeting needs. That there was no inadequacy because there was sufficiency in him. I love reminding myself and people there is no lack in heaven. Recession doesn't touch the kingdom of God. You realise that? The angels don't worry about who's going to pay the lighting bill for the universe. Because they know the source of light is the Father himself. The giant of failure. The righteous shall thrive. The righteous, the Bible says, shall be as bold as a lion. You may have failed and fallen, but God is the one who restores and picks up. The Bible's full of restoration. He kills the giant of failure. What about despair and doubting? Look at the truth. Let the truth set you free. When it comes out, that's why I did myself a list. So I can go through them each week and just say, Father, I believe your word. I'm going to hide these words in my heart so I won't sin against you. And you know what? It works. It really does work. God's word is like nothing else on this earth. The word of God, we know the verse, is sharper and living and active. Sharper than a double-edged sword. Right? Allow his word to work in you. What does it cut off? It cuts off the rubbish that we pick up because of the world that we live in. The truth sets us free. Don't be afraid to ask people to pray for you. I need freedom in this area. Because God is the freedom bringer. The giants need slaying so we can enter all what God has. For you as an individual and as a church. You know, experts say that it takes 30 days to break a habit. And to reprogram your thinking. So don't think that you can just start it and within, you know, 2 days you'll be there. But with God's help, you can get there quicker than 30 days by allowing his word to soak through you. Caleb climbed the mountain, slayed the giants, and lived in his inheritance. I don't know about you, but I certainly want to see an inheritance for the King of Kings in this nation. Before I pop my clogs or before he calls. And I don't plan in going just yet. Amen? Amen. Let's stand together, shall we, and pray. Thank you, Father. Why don't you just hold your hands out, if you can, before him right now. And
And Father, we thank you this day that you are a good God. You're a good Father. That you, your word tells us that no good gift do you withhold from him whose walk is upright. And Father, you know in this congregation this morning there are needs. And I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would meet those needs that have been on hearts. But that at the same time, Lord, that you would fill each one with a fresh download of the peace of God that transcends understanding. Fill us with your peace. Thank you, Lord, that we can come to you. We don't need peace from a bottle or a pill, but we come to the Prince of Peace. And we say, bring your peace into each troubled and anxious heart and cause a refocus to look upon you once again as the Father who has transferred us from darkness into your kingdom. That you're the one who bought us with a price. You're the one who has ownership and mastery over us. So I pray, Father, that your kingdom would come and the effects, the blessings and the benefits of your kingdom would come into each need and to each life that is before you this morning. And thank you, Lord, that we can ask in confidence because you are a good God. And I pray, Father, that your blessing would be upon this fellowship in the days ahead. And that we would see a result from the years of testimony in this area and for work that's been done. Father, we call forth a harvest, even of the most difficult, the people that seem to be most trapped. Cause them to come to find freedom and life that's only found in Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.